for the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show with me, Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. Now, normally, at this time of year, Dave Anderson and myself would be preparing for the new season. Well, the new season, we're not quite sure when that's going to be yet. We've still got the old season still to compete with, and we're not even sure when that's going to be yet, as we'll find out later on in the show. So, a rather reduced length of show this week, because there's not too much really to talk about and anything particularly new. But we will talk to David Richardson from the Non-League paper to get an update of what has been going on, where we think things are going, and what we can look forward to again in this weekend's paper. So thank you for joining us. Continue to stay with us over the summer, because as the playoffs kick into gear, we'll have a lot more interviews and Dave Anderson back alongside me as well. Enjoy this week's show, and let's see what's been going on. So in times of, very little news, there's always a man I know I can call upon. It's a senior writer at the Non-League paper, David Richardson. David, welcome back to the Non-League Football Show.
Thanks, Steve. Put the pressure on now.
Yeah, no pressure at all. No pressure at all. But after last week, we were, I'd imagine you would... looking to even drop some bits out of the paper, because it suddenly all the news came at once with the National League announcements. This week has been very quiet. It's not even been the stream of players signing that we've seen in recent weeks. There's been a few. I guess, you know, a starting point is with the fallout from the National League announcement that they are looking to try and get the playoffs on, but we're still not exactly certain when they're going to be.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's probably the sort of calm after storm, perhaps, is the best phrase to use, really. Obviously, as the following on from the playoff announcement last week, and as you say, I think clubs at the moment are sort of weighing up, you know, whether they'll participate. It seems like the majority are. I think there's maybe still a question mark over Chester, but other than that, I don't think there's too many problems elsewhere with clubs taking place in them. And as you say, obviously, I think the dates sort of need to be finalised. I think they're still looking at that middle of July start date. I think, is it the weekend of July 20th, the 21st, that they're looking at? You know, I think there's still, as we always seem to say, there's some way to go in sort of these discussions around testing and getting players back, at which players are eligible for clubs if they've been on loan and returned to their parent clubs, obviously, following the end of the season. So still, as we always say, some sorting out to do. But I feel like this week it's probably been moving in the right direction again. And from what I've been hearing, it seems like the step two clubs involved with the playoffs are pretty satisfied with the conversations they've been having with the National League.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. So coming out of Harrogate Town, that they had to put on hold their training regime at the start of the week because the National League had to come and, you know, check all their risk assessments and all the other documents that go with it, that they were complying with COVID-safe policies and that sort of thing. There's so much, as you mentioned there, that the players on loan, who's eligible to play, there's so much paperwork and administration that just getting these games on has created. I'm sure the administrators are probably wondering when they'll actually get the summer off.
Yeah, that's right. I think there's things like the clubs needing having a sort of COVID I'm not sure what the right phrase is, of operator as such, someone that they always sort of report to. It's certainly a lot different from the usual protocols that clubs would have to go through ahead of a new season or ahead of even just staging regular playoffs. But I think the clubs are coming together and working together. Steve King, the Dartford manager, was saying last week about how Notts County had been sharing some of their sort of protocol plans and things about how the way they've been doing it. They obviously returned to training this week. So it does seem like the clubs are sort of on a united front, really, with each other. Obviously, there'll be the fiercest of rivals once again when the playoffs get away. get underway, providing they do. But they certainly seem to be doing all they can to help out each other, really, during this time, sharing ideas.
Yeah, nice to see non-league coming together. The column I did for the non-league paper last weekend was all about the need for non-league coming back together. Because it's been a bit bitty. It's been a bit everybody looking after their own. So it's nice to hear that non-league is coming together across the pyramid. And that was the news that came out as well on Friday from the Step 5, Step 6 meeting with the leagues and the EFA, is that when football does get back underway for the new season, it's going to be across from steps 1 to 7.
Yeah, that's right. It'll be a simultaneous start date. This is obviously to avoid situations where, say, step 3, halted for whatever reason, and step 5 is still continuing. Obviously, there would then be greater attendances at those sorts of games, and should it go on for longer, obviously, then there'd be issues around promotion and relegation, I guess, again, in terms of the numbers in the divisions. So it seems like a sensible idea from the clubs from the leagues we spoke to last week. They seem very positive, really, about the meeting. Alan Poulain seemed very, very positive, really, about what the FA was saying. He said how they had their finger on the pulse, which is good to hear. They laid out sort of different scenarios in terms of start dates. I think the main thing from that was that September was the one they were looking towards. Obviously, they've got the potential of August still, let's say September, and then looking beyond that. So I think there was some clarity there and some direction as to how the non-league game will start again, really, which is good to hear. Obviously, it still remains that the situation changes day to day with the coronavirus scenario, situation. So we'll still have to wait and see. It's obviously a frustrating time, and as much as I feel that clubs and players and managers might want some sort of start date, I'm personally not too sure what the value of that is. In my opinion, it almost sets you up for a fall. I think we still need to wait a little bit longer before the FA can set that, really. Mm. So again, I think patience is probably the best way to go at the moment.
Yeah, and obviously, it sounds like the FA are doing lots of stuff behind the scenes. They're making plans. They're looking at a best case scenario, but also a worst case scenario as well, because they're planning. Say if we have a second wave, then the new season ends up being curtailed early. They're using the hindsight and planning how seasons would be decided. If the season couldn't be completed again like we had this year, so that's a good thing. But again, it's still out of the FA's hands, because it's all dependent upon what government say so, and I guess guidance from the Department of Media, Culture and Sport.
Yeah, absolutely. As we sort of seem to say every week, don't we, about how the situation changes and things are up in the air. Probably sort of always worth remembering that, really, that we have to be careful that we're not going to jeopardise things further. Obviously, we've had this lockdown period for over 3 months now, and to me, without trying to get too political, I think it's better to just be safe, really, and try and let it burn out in a way. Obviously, there's the issues of business, etc., and that, and there's since been easing of the restrictions since then. But I think probably on a football level, initially seems to be doing its bit and taking careful steps, really, and it does seem like the FA have that stance as well. As I say, they're not nailing anything to the mast in terms of their aspirations for the new season, but they are at least making these sort of provisions and trying to plan in some way, which I suppose that's all they can do, really.
Yeah, and to give people an idea if they've not read, you know, some of the feedback that was in the paper at the weekend and have been circulating about the meeting. Just to give you an idea of the work that has to go on behind the scenes for these clubs to even be considering to get next season up and underway. There's risk assessment documents that are going to be required for every club to be able to take place, that will need to include full details of training, full training matches, how facilities will be used, including any clubhouses, if dressing rooms, changing facilities. Then there's a consideration for travel. There's also the volunteer workforce, which we talk about time and time again, is how essential it is to the club, but they need to be safe and looked after as well as possible. And I believe the FA are preparing a guidance paper to assist clubs with this. But again, you've got to remember that most of these clubs are being run by volunteers as well, that have probably got other jobs as more and more people are getting back to work and everything's coming back on the stream. So it's a busy time for anybody involved in a non-league football club, but and difficult times, because it's very difficult to plan ahead when football will be starting and when there's any revenue streams that could be started.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a difficult scenario. I remember speaking to Nick Robertson, about a couple of months ago, and he was talking about, how they were perhaps having discussions about sending sort of forms off to clubs about registering for the new season, and bits and bobs that they had to do. But it was simply sort of no point, really, because at that stage they didn't know where things were going to be at. I guess that's probably similar to football now, from a club point of view, like you say, the things they have to start getting sorted for the new season. I probably just think that for now we need to do what we can do within the restrictions and not try to push it too much, really. And I'm sure the FA will provide plenty of guidance. I know they were putting out certain information leaflets on sort of those sort of things and how to deal with coming back to football if it has to be in a sort of COVID secure scenario of perhaps less capacity and hand sanitizers around the ground, that sort of thing. So I think the information will be out there, or at least I hope the information will be out there for clubs to use to their benefit, because they do need the help, and the last thing sort of volunteers need, really, when they have so much on their plate, is to have a sort of very different scenario and not have much support from that. So like I say, I'm sure those things will be in place, but they definitely need to be by the FA and the leagues.
Yeah, I saw one witty comment this week that perhaps it might mean that finally at non-league grounds there will be soap in the dispensers within the toilets. So it's going to be an interesting few months ahead, and probably an interesting 12 months and maybe beyond as well. It was interesting that you mentioned clubs still unsure about whether they will be participating in the playoffs. I'm sure probably when push comes to shove, they'll all want to be there if they can be. But having looked at some of the Premier League games and also further afield games that have been on TV, it's been interesting to note that a lot of the commentators are making note of the players still not being fully up to speed, and it's still early days in the season. Whereas we're talking about National League playoffs, where these are potentially, they're the biggest games of the season that these clubs are going to be playing. And it's going to be how they manage to get up to speed to play in those games.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. That has been one of the main things that have come out of the Premier League restarting that we've seen here is perhaps the lack of excitement or maybe the urgency and less goals. Some people have been saying that's down to fitness levels and not being quite as sharp and sort of losing that rhythm of having played week in, week out. And to be honest, judging by that, you would think with respect to non-league players, you would think that that will be an issue in non-league as well, to be honest. You know, perhaps particularly at step two, where most clubs are part-time, and perhaps don't have the resources to have been doing some sort of socially distanced fitness sessions, or at least have some sort of plan for players at home. And I think to an extent in the National League, also that those clubs in the playoff positions are all full-time, so they will be training hard in the weeks before those games. But nonetheless, even as you've seen at the top level, where they have, you know, everything available, they have the sort of fitness tracking and monitoring systems and everything like that, you know, it's still an issue. You can't really replicate that match fitness, as they say. Obviously, clubs could organise friendly and play friendly matches between them, but I guess in a very competitive scenario of the playoffs, it's different. You know, there will be certain slight sort of law changes, I guess. I understand they can have more, use more substitutes as they've been doing in the Premier League. They also get 6 substitutes now as well, which means you can have, I suppose, 5 outfield players and a goalkeeper, or even 6 outfield players if that's the preference. So those things will benefit teams in terms of fitness, but I do think it will be something that we see, hopefully, because it's the playoffs and it's not many games. You know, you'll see clubs really put the hammer down and go for it, to be honest. You know, usually the playoff games are entertaining and there's goals, so we can only hope that that's the case as well. It would certainly be strange, though, as it has been in the Premier League, seeing these grounds empty and sort of echoey as well. So, yeah, it'll be certainly a different experience, and hopefully one we won't experience again, to be honest.
Yeah, there's been various debates I've seen about maybe the playoffs should be held at a neutral ground, and they look for grounds that are more picturesque, because at least if there's no crowd there, then you can... You can see the country rolling in the background. Obviously, I guess a big thing about getting these games on is going to be the cost and the implication, finances of that. And that's a big worry for clubs up and down the pyramid at the moment. And none more so than the South Shields, who this week announced that they've been hit with a £230,000 legal bill after their appeal to the FA for the null and void situation. I believe it was £62,000 effectively cost to put the arbitration panel on. They had their own legal cost fees, and they've had to pay 65% of the FA legal costs as well. I think they're crowdfunding it, and it looks like, you know, non-league's going to rally behind them and help them get it sorted. But it shows how difficult it can be to make an appeal against the FA, really.
Yeah, I was surprised, really, that they went through with the legal action they made. You know, as far as I'm aware, it's not common, really, that people win cases against the FA. You know,
from a man that helped his club take an appeal to the FA, I was told that the FA win 95% of those cases. So.
I think that probably says it all, really. Perhaps, you know, they thought they had to sort of almost go through with it, really, having campaigned quite a lot and on behalf of other clubs as well. Of course, the club is well financed anyway, so they were probably in a better position than most. But nonetheless, I don't think that softens the blow at all, really, for the cost that they now have to incur. You know, as you say, they're fundraising to raise that. But, it's sort of a tricky sort of scenario to comment on, really. It's not a great situation for the club.
You understand why they did it, being a retired lawyer myself, I think there's only ever one winner likely to come out of that, and that's the lawyers, because they all get their fees paid. So Yeah, hopefully it won't upset their title ambitions for next season. But it's not all doom and gloom in non-league. You know, there might not be that much around, and there might be some negative stuff going on. But this week in Sunday's paper, you did announce the National Game Award winners, and so plenty of smiles on plenty of people's faces on Sunday morning when that hit.
Yeah, that's right. It's sort of. Had a little bit of normality about it, really, in a way. Sort of almost brought the season to a close, I suppose you could say. Of course, it's something we usually host every year at Stamford Bridge and get all the winners down. Obviously, that wasn't possible this year, so did it slightly different online, which seems to be the way to go, really, with things at the moment. And no, it was very well received. We had thousands of votes come in. For clubs and players at all levels. So it was great to honour the efforts of players and managers and clubs as well, really, for their efforts during the season, which for most of them proved fruitless, really. So I think it was well received by those winners and also our readers too. So it was nice to announce those winners.
Yeah, and that 2019-2020 season, that has many of the records have been expunged, but the National Game Awards are going to be there forever to let people know what went on in that season.
Absolutely.
So obviously we're coming up to a scorcher of a weekend. I'm certainly pleased that. I'm not having to play football in the weekend that they're predicting. I don't know about drinks breaks. I think I probably need saline breaks and a very long lay down. But it does mean that on Sunday there will be a non-league paper ready and awaiting people. What can we expect to read in this weekend's paper, David?
Yeah, so another packed issue as usual. It's our 15th, would you believe it, without any matches to report on. But hopefully in the coming weeks we will have a few in the playoffs, as we've spoken about. We look ahead to those playoffs and see how club preparations are going. Obviously, as we discussed, there's a few things up in the air at the moment for clubs. But hopefully we can give you a definitive guide, really, on what to expect in the playoffs and who's going to be playing in them. Adam Virgo, top sort of BT Sport pundit and an expert on the National League, gives his view, which is one to look out for fans of those clubs. As usual, we have all the latest news from across the pyramid, right down to steps 5 and 6, so plenty in there for everyone. I spoke to Cray Valley manager Kevin Watson this week about their really good season at step 4, obviously having been in the FA Vars final last year and winning their Southern Counties East Division. They really stepped up to the mark at step 4 in the playoff hunt until the season came to an end. And there's plenty more in there this week as well. I also spoke to Danny Bloor at Eastbourne, who took over in November and steadied the ship there under some difficult financial circumstances. But he's been keeping spirits up in the local community, and it sounds like they're heading in the right direction once again. So, as I say, plenty in there this weekend for everyone. If you get out and support the paper, that'd be great. We really appreciate all of the support we've had over the summer. It's obviously been difficult for the paper to still be coming out without too much to report. Matches to report on, but nonetheless, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I certainly look forward to my Sunday mornings. Sometimes, you know, I'm getting old. Sometimes if I wake up in the middle of the night and I do check my digital edition to see whether it's hit already. I need something to entertain sometimes. Certainly looking forward to the Danny Bloor piece, because Danny's a guy I caught up with him in person earlier on last season, and he's a true non-league man, knows plenty about football, and I can understand him keeping spirits up down there. So looking forward to that. David, thanks for joining us again on the Non-League Football Show, and stay safe and have a great week.
Thanks very much, Tim.
So that is a rather shortened show this week. Thank you once again to David Richardson and the Non-League Paper for cooperating with us on this, bringing you some of the news from this week. Hopefully a slightly larger show again next week, when we should have some more information about the National League playoffs and how they're going to pan out. So thank you to everybody for listening. Don't forget you can find us throughout the week via all your usual podcast aggregation sites via Audio Boom, iTunes, Deezer, Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. Stay safe. Thank you and goodbye.
Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA. JABBA.